It says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind. I want to preach from the sermon topic this morning. There's a Lion King in you. There's a Lion King. Look at somebody telling them, there's a Lion King in you. There's a Lion King in you. Look at somebody else telling, hi, Simba. There's a Lion King in you. Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, God, that this time is yours. Have your way in this moment. Do what you need to do. Help us to leave here encouraged, reminded of who we are in you. In Jesus' name, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. It was 25 years ago, and my goddaughter, India, was only around 2 years old. And this was going to be her first movie that I took her to. So I was praying, I mean praying, that this would be the movie that would help to break her in and learn how to sit in a theater for 2 hours. And I remember when we got there, the movie started. When I tell you that India did not make a noise, she did not cry, she did not ask to be picked up. She stayed awake and she was captivated the entire time. She watched this movie like she was an adult. Legs back, arms crossed. She was locked in. And I had to admit that she was not the only one that was captivated. I watched this cartoon kid-friendly movie like I was a kid myself. I had never actually been to a G-rated movie as an adult, but this movie, it pulled me in. I was in. I mean, so here I am, just as excited as my 2-year-old goddaughter, watching this movie 25 years ago named The Lion King. And I remember that I ended up taking my goddaughter India 2 more times to go see the movie before it left the theaters. And the only reason I took her with me those 2 extra times is because I needed a valid excuse for going to see this kid-friendly cartoon movie called The Lion King. And 25 years later, this past week, The Lion King reappeared in theaters. A different cast and a different look, but it is back again. I haven't had a chance to see it, but before I leave to go out of the country, I plan to see it. And I may even call my goddaughter, India, to take her with me, even though she's now in her mid-20s. I don't think I'll be able to use her as my excuse. And for those who were born on another planet and have never seen or even heard of this movie, The Lion King, it is about a lion club, a prince named Simba, who is tricked by his evil uncle Scar into thinking he caused his father's death. And Simba then flees into exile in despair. He forgets his role as heir to the throne of his daddy. So he grows up living in the jungle with his new friends, Timon, a meerkat, and Pumbaa, a warthog. But Rafiki, Mufasa's spiritual counselor, finds Simba and convinces him that he must come back and take his rightful position as king. One of my favorite parts in the movie is when Rafiki persuades Simba and tells Simba that his father is not dead. He takes Simba to a small pond, and he has Simba look into the water. And Simba initially only sees his reflection, and he gets discouraged. But he then looks a second time. Look at somebody, tell him, look again. He looks a second time, and then this time he sees Mustafa, his father, as his reflection. And he realizes in that moment his father is not dead, that his father is inside of him. Good God Almighty, tell somebody, not daddy's inside of me. Mustafa's spirit then appears, and the stars telling Simba he must live on as king. In the dialogue, Mustafa tells Simba, you have forgotten me. And Simba responds and says to his father, no, how could I? Mustafa tells Simba, you have forgotten who you are, and so you've forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you've become. Simba asks Mustafa, how can I go back? I'm not who I used to be. I love Mustafa. I love this recline, this response. Mustafa, before he leaves, he says, remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are. Look at somebody, tell him, remember who you are. And that's what I came to tell somebody this morning. You got to remember who you are. That even as African Americans, we need to sometimes be reminded that we've got lion kings in us. We come from kings and queens from the birthplace of civilization of the continent of Mother Africa. But because of slavery and years of institutional racism, we sometimes forget who we are. Matter of fact, this year commemorates the 400th year when Africans arrived at Point Comfort, Virginia, in late August of 1619. And what I found interesting is that the 20 Africans that showed up on an English ship, the name of the ship was called the White Lion. Those who were transporting them didn't even realize that they had lion kings on the ship. That they weren't transporting slaves. They were actually transporting lion. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm a lion king. There's a lion king in us. We all are lion kings, and I'm not being gender specific, but talking of the royalty which is inside each of us. We are children of the king. We are born into a heritage of majesty, but life sometimes has a way of making us forget who we are, and the enemy of our souls is constantly attempting to make us live beneath our truest privilege. We are the sons, we are the daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we act from that identity, we act in accordance with who we were made to be. And I just came by early on this morning to tell all of us, in the words of Mustafa, remember who you are, because we are the children of God, and there is a lion king in us. Look at somebody, tell them, there's a lion king in you. There's a lion king. The first thing we have to understand, in order to understand that there's a lion king in us, is that you got to tell yourself and you got to remind yourself, don't let your past remove you from your inherited position. Look at somebody, tell them, I inherited this. Okay, let me help somebody. In the movie The Lion King, Simba's evil Uncle Scar, he killed his own brother Mustafa, and then made Simba believe that he was responsible for his daddy's death. And Simba felt so bad about what he thought he had done that he fled into the jungle and hid, and he lived in a jungle. But what Simba didn't quite understand was that as soon as his father died, that he was the king. He did not understand that his position had changed when his daddy died. It was a position that he inherited because of who his daddy was. The colonies, he allowed a past mistake to remove him from a position that he inherited. Y'all ain't following me this morning. And before we indict Simba, we need to take a closer look at ourselves, at the man and and the woman in the mirror. How many of us have removed ourselves from the inherited position God has given us because of some challenges from our past? How many of us have left both our throne and taken off our crowns because of a mistake, because of the sin, because of a failure, because of the disappointment from yesterday that has paralyzed us today and keeps us hostage from a greater tomorrow? Tell somebody, you got to let it go. Just let that thing go. We've gotten comfortable in a position that God never intended for us to have. We have removed ourselves from being kings to becoming slaves to our past. And for some of us, the problem is that even when it's not what's best for us, we condition ourselves to accept it. It's beneath us, but we conditioned ourselves to accept it. It's less than satisfactory, but we've conditioned ourselves to accept it. It's not even average. It's below average, but we've conditioned ourselves to accept it because of the lies the enemy has told us in the dark cloud of our past that overshadows us. We've allowed dysfunction to become our normal. We've allowed insufficient to become enough. We accept stuff because it's better than what we've been used to, even though it's still inferior to our position as kings and queens. We deserve better, but we end up living lives that are now connected to our past because it has removed us from our positions. So our past becomes our reference point. It is what we use to determine where we should be. We look at what we've done or what we've been through, and we tell ourselves that we are only entitled to that which is measured out of our past circumstance and situation. But I came down to tell somebody the devil is a liar. God did not create us to be lion kings connected to our past, but he created us to be lion kings connected to his paternity. We are children of the king. So we have inherited a throne that we did not have to qualify for. Tell somebody, I didn't qualify for this position. I just inherited. I don't know how I got here, but I just need to let you know it wasn't because of what I did. It was because of what I inherited. Our inheritance is not linked to our merit, but our inheritance is linked to God's grace. Our position is not associated to something that we earned, that is associated to God's unexplainable favor for God's children. So no matter what we've done, and no matter what sins we committed, and no matter what wrongs have been done to us, it does not have the power to take away our position as heirs to the throne of God. Nostartha says it like this: Asimda, you have forgotten who you are. Look inside yourself. You are more, good God Almighty, than what you have become. And Romans 8 says it like this. He tells us God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. In other words, we are God's children. And what belongs to the king belongs to the children of the king. It's not conditional. It's relational. My relation got me this position. My relation got me this promotion. My relation got me this prosperity. My relation got me this. Is there anybody here that can tell God, thank you that I didn't qualify for it, but I inherited? Because there's a lion king in us. The second thing you have to understand when you understand that you're a lion king, you got to remind yourself that there are times you're going to have to check your warranty. Tell somebody you got a warranty. You need to check it. There are too many times as Christians where we forfeit our title, our position, and our rights because we don't know what's already been promised to us. We listen to what we've been told to believe from others when others won't benefit from the promises God has for us. And we end up living beneath because we don't even know the promises that we've been given to live above. Look at somebody telling, I got a warranty for this. Okay, y'all still ain't feeling me. A month ago, my headphones stopped working. I ain't even going to say the name of them, but they real important joints. Ratha used to. But anyway, I had these headphones, and out of nowhere, Kurt, they just stopped. They just stopped. I was blown. I'm getting ready to go on a trip in a little while. I need my headphones, especially these. They wireless joints go in your ears. Real comfortable. And when I got to customer service at the store that I purchased them from, they told me, they said, well, sir, you're going to have to pay to get them fixed, or you're going to have to buy another pair. And I was upset. I'm like, golly, I just got these joints. They went out, and now I got a tape on. And they said, matter of fact, we can't repair those because those are no longer the ones that are made. There's a newer version, so you're going to have to buy a new pair. I said, golly. And the new pair costs more than the old pair. I'm about to lose in here. But something told me to look up my warranty that came with my purchase. And as the person behind the counter is telling me one thing, I'm sitting in line on my phone reading my warranty. And my warranty is saying something totally different to what the customer service person is telling me. My warranty said that if my headphones were damaged, that it was on the company to either fix them or replace them. The person finished saying what they said. I said, well, I hear what you're saying. I said, the only problem is what you're saying doesn't line up with my warranty. And I pulled it out, and her eyes got big, and she looked like, oh, Lord, he knows his warranty. And I said, yeah, my warranty says that y'all either have to fix them or you got to replace them. I said, and we already know you can't fix them. I said, so let me know where I go to get my upgrade. And I left out the store with a new pair of headphones. And I realized in that moment is that the folks at the store didn't want to give me what I had been promised because it wouldn't benefit them. They were willing to tell me something that they knew wasn't true, hoping I wouldn't check my warranty so that I would leave without what the warranty had guaranteed me. Y'all still ain't found me. And all a warranty is a promise. That's all it is. It's an assurance to keep us from losing out on something that is rightfully ours. The enemy was always telling us things that are contrary and conflict with who we are and how God sees us. Intentional lies and alternative facts and false narratives, talk to me, White House, spoken into our minds and touching our spirits to challenge the royalty that is within us. So instead of walking as lion kings, we end up living like indentured servants with no rights. But when we learn what's been promised to us, the authority that we've been given, it changes our perspective on who we are and how we see ourselves. We begin to demand instead of ask. We begin to expect instead of disregard. I stood in line after I looked at my warranty. My posture changed. At first, I was grown. I walked in. They told me I was going to have to pay for a new pair. I was about to get my credit card out. My heart was heavy. My mind was all messed up. I mean, I'm upset. But as I started to read my warranty, good God Almighty, even when the lady was telling me what I knew wasn't true, I listened to her, but it didn't hit me like it was hitting me earlier because I knew what my warranty said. And that's why we got to check our warranties for ourselves so that when the enemy tells us things that don't benefit us, we can remind ourselves of the warranty that God has given us. And the question becomes, where is my warranty? Where can I find these promises? Can I help somebody here? Can I tell you that your Bible is just a book of warranties? And it guarantees you things. And That's why reading scripture is your greatest tool against the lies of the enemy that tries to get us to die into things that truly are not what God intended for us. But when we know our warranty, we know what's guaranteed to us. Tell somebody, I got some guarantees. In financial hardships, we know that we are the head and not the tail, that we are the lender and not the borrower. In distress, we know that God has plans to prosper us and not harm us. In sickness, we know that by Jesus' stripes, the warranty says that we're already healed. In lack, we know that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. In struggles, we know that no temptation has overtaken us, and God is faithful and won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I'm just telling you what the warranty says. In doubt, we know that he who the gun of good work will carry it out to completion. In battles, the warranty says, we know the Lord will fight for us. We need only be still. In weakness, the warranty says, we know God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. In bondage, we know that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I ain't telling you what I'm saying. I'm telling you what the warranty says. You got promises that you can stand on because you're a Lion King. And because you're a Lion King, there's an assurance in knowing that you got insurance through the word of God. Tell somebody, I got promises. I got promises. Last thing you got to understand, when you recognize that there's a Lion King in you, not only do you have to remind yourself to check your warranty, and not only do you have to tell yourself and remind yourself that your past does not remove you from your inherited position, the last thing, sometimes what you got to do when there's a Lion King in you is you got to let them hear you roar. You got to let them hear you roar. Okay, y'all still, my father in ministry, Pastor Granger Grinding Jr., this preached on something similar 2 weeks ago at a conference. He talked about lions and cats. He talked about the Lion King. And what you realize is that although lions and cats both come from the same family tree, that their differences are significant. Not only are they different in size, but they are also different in sound. Any cat lovers in the house? Okay, just a few. I know. Y'all know we dog folks. But what you realize is that cats meow. 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 The lions roar. They lions roar. Cats, they meow. That sound is for attention. It is for them to get you to notice them. But lions, they don't roar for attention. Lions roar when they are engaged in a fight with an adversary. They roar to back things off of them. Or lions roar to communicate with other lions in the pack to let them know what's going on. And the tenor of their roar determines what they're saying to the pack. Good God Almighty. Lions also roar because they need to let those in the pack know who the alpha is. And so So lions roar differently than cats. Cats roar merely for some attention. The lions roar to mark their territory. Lions know. And no matter what is thrown at them, lions roar. And the truth is that too many of us are lion kings pretending to be cats because we get our meow confused with our roar. And the problem is that even when we meow, it doesn't come out right because there's a lion king in you. And so even when you start to meow, it sounds more like meow because the lion is still in you. And so even when you want to just get some attention and meow, and the problem is that sometimes you end up acting more of those who you hang with. And so that's why you got to be careful to see whether you're hanging with cats, no disregard to cats, or if you hang around those who roar, because you know that cats hang with cats and lions hang with lions. Yeah. And how do we roar? Somebody may be asking, Rev, I want to be a lion king, but I don't know what it means to roar. And so let me help you here. I want to share in Genesis 49, we hear of the lion of Judah. It is symbolic to the Israelite tribe of Judah through the Old Testament. The tribe is traditionally represented by a lion. So we start in Genesis because he's the Alpha. But then when we go to Revelations in 5:5, it also is used to refer to Jesus Christ, the prophecy of the coming of the Lord to judge the world as the Lion of Judah. It's clear all throughout the book of Revelations because he's not only the Alpha, but he's also the Omega. He's not just the beginning, but he's also the end. In other words, his roar reminds us that he is the Alpha. He is the Alpha, but we are the descendants of the Alpha. And so you had these different tribes. And so, like, you had the tribe of Levi. They were responsible for preparing the priests, while the tribe of Judah was responsible for training the kings. And since Jesus is out of what they call the Davidic line, in other words, he is out of the line of the lineage of David. This is 42 generations. He came out of that line. He came out of the king line. And so he is the King of Kings. And that's why we know we're kings, because when he says he's the King of Kings, that means that the kings underneath him are his children. And so we are descendants of the king. And so that's why we know that we are lion kings. But we also can't dismiss this tribe called Judah. And so we're not only dealing with the Lion of Judah, but we're also dealing with Judah, because Judah is really translated to mean praise. So your roar, it's really just your praise. That's all your roar is. Your roar is to let the enemy know who you are and what you will and will not stand for. Your roar is your ability to stand in the midst of the storm and still tell God, thank you. Our roar is something that will back the enemy off of our children. Our roar is something that will back the enemy off of our marriage. Your roar is something that will back I dare somebody in the midst of whatever you may be going through to just roar and give God glory and give God praise and tell God thank you. Your roar, your roar, your roar. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning that I thought that somebody came in with a reason to roar. That when you look at your life and what God has done for you, you realize that you got a reason to roar. When you look at when he healed you, you got a reason to roar. When you look at how he made a way for you, you got a reason to roar. When you look at how he comforted you, you got a reason to roar. I dare somebody to just say, Lord, I dare you to back the enemy up and let him know that no weapon formed against me or my family or my community or my finances or my children or my health or my purpose or my calling will prosper. Because when the devil comes, it says he's like a roaring lion. Y'all missed it. Seeking who he can devour. It says he's like a roaring lion. In other words, lightnings, that's not who he is. That's what he pretends to be. Because see, he used to be in charge of praise in heaven. But when he got kicked out, he had to leave his title. So all he can do is pretend to roar. But I dare you, when he comes to you, to remind yourself, you ain't no real lion. I'm the alpha in this situation. Roar. And I will be everything God's called me to be. I dare you to, from the top of your lungs, just let out a roar and give God praise. Roar and give God glory. Roar and tell God, I thank you. Look at your neighbor, tell him, let's roar together. Oh, won't you magnify the Lord with thee, and let us praise his name together. I dare you to grab your neighbor by the hand and say, will you roar with me? Will you praise with me? Will you thank him with me? Will you scream with me? Will you shout with me? Will you give glory with me? Will you roar? Going to your job tomorrow, they gonna look at you like you crazy. They gonna say, how was your day? Roar. I feel like roaring this week, cause there's a lion king in me. Standing all over the church. There's a lion. Woo.